Especially on this Father's Day, I want to speak a word that will help communicate God's grace and love to your heart. So I want to ask for your help. If you could just pray for me for a moment, that I'll be able to speak God's words to you, and I'll pray that you are able to hear what He wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. In our gospel, Jesus is in the position of the Father. He says it, in fact, many times throughout the gospel. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said that to Philip when Philip said, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And he says, have I been with you for so long a time and still you do not know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And he says, I came not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father. And he says, I do not speak my own words to you, but I speak to you what I have heard from the Father. He says, he who receives me receives the one who sent me, referring to the Father. Jesus comes in the position of the Father to us, and he plays the role of the Father with the disciples. He forms them as a father forms his sons, making them also likewise into the images of the Father, so that they can become a father to their own communities as the apostles are raised up. In looking at fatherhood, drawing from the example of Jesus from today's gospel, we see the way that Jesus forms his disciples by giving them an example of prayer. Our first line in the gospel said, once when Jesus was praying in solitude, and the disciples who were with him. Jesus gives an example of prayer. Jesus has his own Father that he turns to, and only by turning to his own Father is he able to give an appropriate example of the Father, is he able to reflect the Father's love for his disciples. How important it is that our fathers are praying, that all of you fathers here and our own fathers and fathers in our world are praying, looking to the Heavenly Father for strength, for guidance. We all know that we are limited and weak. We fail in so many ways. We have our own shortcomings. Fathers are not perfect. Not a single one of us here, and not any father in the world is perfect, but our Heavenly Father is perfect. And so we look to Him to make up for what we lack. We look to Him in humility, knowing that as much as we have grown in our own fatherhood, we still need to be fathered. Jesus gives us that example. He turns to the Heavenly Father, and in this way, He teaches the disciples to pray by example. The statistics bear out that the strength of a child's faith is most closely determined by the faith of their father. The way that our fathers are witnessing faith to children has a determinative impact on the formation of children, families. If every father is praying, what a difference it makes in this world. Jesus also gives an example to his disciples of fatherhood through his teaching. And he teaches in a very beautiful way, a very gentle way. Jesus has this very gentle love for his disciples. There are times that he pushes them, that he challenges them, especially when they're bickering over which one is greatest. He doesn't mind poking a finger right into the midst of that and exposing their misplaced pride and arrogance. But in our gospel today, he teaches with a very gentle spirit. Jesus speaks to his disciples, asking them questions, helping them to reflect, not simply forcing answers down their throats, but drawing out from them, as the word education contains. The word in Latin, educere, means to lead out of, to draw out of. And there's so much that a father can do to draw out from his children what is already placed within them by God. And Peter didn't even know that he had this answer in him. The Holy Spirit had been at work probably in that time of prayer. And Jesus, by his questions, was able to draw out of Peter a profession of faith, a profession that the other disciples were able to hear and also learn from. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, in response, maybe he couldn't have said it 15 minutes ago, but in response to the Father, Jesus' prompting, he's able to say, "You are the Christ of God." That's what a father does, not simply imprinting his own image in his children, but drawing out their uniqueness, drawing out the things that God is placing within them. It's an example of the teaching of a good father. And then we have a last point that the gospel shows for us. Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And this too describes for us a good father. A good father is one who is not afraid to suffer for his children, who is not afraid to stand between the enemy, the wolf, and his flock. A good father is one who stands in the breach and is able to take the blows. A good father is likewise one who doesn't fight violence with violence and doesn't turn with revenge toward an attack. Jesus is a good father who does not back down in the face of evil. He does not cower in fear, but he also doesn't fight evil with evil or violence with violence. He stands strong and firm, immovable, even to the loss of his own life. But there, God gives courage to fathers, as Jesus says, "But death will not be the end. No evil can defeat the love of a good father. On the third day, he will be raised." I know that we don't have all fathers in our congregation here, but I say these things about the Father for several reasons. To encourage the fathers among us, and I include myself in that. I need all of this encouragement. I try to live out the things that I'm saying in my own spiritual fatherhood. And all of us, men in particular, are called to a spiritual fatherhood in addition to the physical fatherhood that so many of you have. I say this also for the children and the women who are here, because we need to know what a good father looks like to be able to build up men in their fatherhood, to be able to expect that from them, and to settle for nothing less. And I say it for a third reason. As I already mentioned, every one of us has a father who is a sinner. None of our fathers is perfect, but our Heavenly Father is perfect. And in the ways that our own father falls short, we can turn to the Heavenly Father to fill in those gaps. Perhaps our own father didn't have quite this strength, or maybe he wasn't the best teacher, or maybe he wasn't the example of prayer that we really needed in our lives. And we can forgive our fathers for not being in every possible way the father that we needed our father to be. But we don't stop there and allow ourselves to fall into bitterness and self-pity, blame and accusation. We have to go beyond that to the Heavenly Father, because he is the father that we need. And he has sent his Son to present a face for us and to be the Father that each of us needs, an example of prayer, a gentle and loving teacher to draw the uniqueness and strength out of each one of us, and a fearless defender who is not afraid to stand against the enemy in order to protect his little ones and to form his flock. As we come before the Lord in the Eucharist, we remember the way that he stood in the breach for us, as we behold mystically the crucified one who is present in our midst, and we draw strength from him, receiving from his body and blood. And let us unite our prayers to his, that this generation, that this time, at this time in the world, good fathers may be raised up after the image of Christ our Lord.